Go ahead and put the first slide up. I guess I can do that. I intended this morning to introduce to you our newest faculty member at Sunset International Bible Institute, Brother C.L. Thomas. Brother C.L. Thomas has just arrived in Lubbock from Los Angeles. He is going to be an outstanding teacher, faculty member, preacher trainer. He's an international evangelist. He's well educated. He's a graduate of Sunset and has gone on and gotten a couple of master's degrees in addition, and is now working on a PhD in Christian apologetics. He plans to reach the millennial generation that is increasingly skeptical with faith in the Word of God and faith in Christ and the evidence of belief in God. And we're so grateful to have him here. I hoped to introduce him here in person, and he was even going to teach the 5 o'clock workshop, so y'all gonna have to take second best, because his wife last night called him and said, "I am on the way to the hospital." They are expecting their fifth child. He has 4 girls. This one is scheduled to be a boy. And as you can imagine, he was pretty excited to get back home. So late last night, he left the hotel where we were both staying, and he took off to Lubbock. I haven't had a report yet whether we have a boy child present or not, but we'll try to update you about that as the day goes on. By the way, there are some brochures out by the tape ministry on the big round table. There's some brochures about Brother Thomas and his work with us as a faculty member. And I am just happy that this is the first public announcement that I've had a chance to make about that since he just arrived. And I am so happy to make that first announcement here at the Greenville Avenue Church of Christ. May God bless us as we train gospel preachers for the future in our Lord's church. We're going to have a video here in just a moment, just a 3-minute video. And this video is a video about a blind man. This is one of the stories of the hands and the feet of Jesus. You see, as we take the gospel to the world, as we are fruitful in our lives, it is all to the glory of God. We do that to glorify God. But our story becomes God's glory. And that's exactly what's going to happen with this man. And this man was a preacher before he became blind. But he became blind because of glaucoma in his eyes and no treatment available in the village in which he lived in Nigeria. And so we gave him one of these solar players. We've distributed over 3,000 of these now in villages in Africa. And he received one of these solar players.
We're back in Matthew chapter 16.
To the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen."
This little solar player not only has the entire Bible on it, but it has all of the Sunset curriculum. Over 400 hours of Bible and Bible teaching, but it also has 2 hours of gospel singing. And Brother Christopher's taken some of these to Ghana for us, and we're thankful for that. And we're thankful to be able to give these because of the contributions of our great brotherhood. We're thankful to be able to give these to our brothers and sisters in Africa and in other places in the future. And so listen to the story of this brother. Oh, we can't play it. All right. Well, we'll go on then. We'll work on that, and tonight we'll play that video for you, and you'll be able to see that at the evening service. All right, have we got the next slide up? Okay. I'm not sure why I'm not able to change this. Oh, okay. There we go. All right. Let me just tell you the story of Sylvanus. Sylvanus became blind. He couldn't study his Bible anymore. He couldn't read. You know, faith comes by hearing for some folks. 774 million people in the world, nearly a billion people, adults, cannot read. For them, faith comes like it did in the first century. Did you know only 4% of people in the first century could read? So for them, what Paul said in Romans chapter 10 was really true. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Most of the people in the first century that obeyed the gospel heard the gospel and obeyed it. And for Sylvanus, he had to hear the gospel now, and we were thankful to be able to give him one of these solar players so that he could listen to the Word of God still, prepare his lessons, listen to the teachings from the Sunset curriculum and prepare his lessons and the things that he was going to teach his congregation. There's even a lesson on this thing called How to Become a New Testament Christian. And he would play that when he went to the hospital to have his eyes treated. He would play that for the hospital workers. And when he would get on a bus to go from one place to the other, as a blind man, and people would have to help him, he would turn his solar player on in the bus, and people would listen to it. And he was able to bless. He played it in the hospital and converted one of the hospital staff, and that person's now a faithful member of the Lord's church. What I'm saying to us is that making disciples is God's glory. But the hands and feet part, that's our story. And that's the part that we want to talk about today. By this, the Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. There are four important principles. As you open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 18, there are four important principles in God's plan for making disciples that make more disciples. And that's what it's all about. It's all about us being His disciples, fruitful in our lives, being the hands and the feet of Jesus in this world. But it's all about us making more disciples for Jesus. And that glorifies God when we multiply. But there are four important principles. If we want to be the hands and feet of Jesus, if we want to be a part of this great plan to be disciples that make more disciples, there are four principles that are important for us to understand. Number one, we have to understand the intent. And the intent, the purpose of Jesus Christ, the purpose of God in heaven, from the very beginning was to go make disciples. You see, that's why Jesus came into this world to begin with. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5 says, "Have this mind, this attitude in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God, did not count equality with God as something to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking on him the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of man." When Jesus came down that stairway from heaven, he did that in order that we might be disciples, that we might be saved. When his birth was announced by the angel Gabriel, it was said that you shall call his name Jesus, which means salvation of Jehovah. You call his name Jesus, Yeshua, because he will save his people from their sins. Matthew 1:21. Over and over and over, we are told that the very heart and the very purpose of Christ was to make disciples, to save people. He said, "I came to save those that are lost." Luke 19:10. That was his purpose. And our purpose, brothers and sisters, must be to be his disciples, but to spread that salvation to others so that they can be disciples. Now, Jesus said, as he went around making disciples, he said, "Now, if you want to be my disciple, you must take up your cross and follow me." You see, that's the hands and the feet. If we want to be his disciples, we cannot be unless we're willing to take up the cross of Christ, the attitude, the spirit, the sacrifice of Christ. It's going to cost us something to be the hands and the feet of Christ in this world. But in Luke chapter 14 and verse 27, he said, "You can't be my disciples if you don't take up your cross and follow me." We have to have that love for one another and love for the lost and love for the world that emulates the love that Jesus had when he came into the world to save people. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments. So shall you be my disciples. And if you love one another, the world will recognize that you are my disciples." If we love like Jesus, if we go like Jesus, if we serve like Jesus, we will be his disciples and we will be fruitful and we will make more disciples, all to the glory of our Father in heaven. And that's his intent. But we also have to understand that secondly, there is the extent of the gospel. And that extent is the whole world. From the very beginning of time, God looked at this world and He said, I want to save them. I want to rescue them. And you know, brothers and sisters, sometimes He has to save us from ourselves. You know that sometimes God has to save us from our own mischief, from our own sinfulness. But God is willing to do that because He loves us. And He wants to rescue us, and the extent is to the whole world. Go make disciples, Jesus said, of all nations. Now, He's not just talking about political boundaries there. The Greek word for all nations is ta ethne, and it means all ethnic groups. Whatever our ethnicity is, God loves us. Every tribe, every nation, every language, every village, every city. That's the extent of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's how far reaching it is. When Jesus met with His disciples after His resurrection, He said, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. That's where you live. And you're going to be my witnesses where you live. But you'll be my witnesses also in Judea and all Samaria and even to the utter parts of the earth. That's the plan of God. That's the extent of the Great Commission. Well, the disciples did a pretty good job in the early days of the church in Jerusalem. And you read in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 6. You read how the church just exploded in growth. And how they were reaching all the disciples. They were making disciples in Jerusalem, and the church was multiplying and growing. It wasn't just adding. In Acts 2, it was adding every day. But by Acts chapter 4 and Acts chapter 6, it's multiplying. It's exploding in growth. And then in Acts chapter 8. Persecution happens. Somehow, the early church, maybe even the apostles, maybe they just didn't get the message. They were doing a great job in their Jerusalem, but what about the uttermost parts of the earth? And so persecution came. And Acts chapter 8 and verse 4 says, and the disciples that were scattered by the persecution of Saul went everywhere preaching the word. We have a school, Ukrainian Bible Institute, that was established about 18 years ago in Donetsk, Ukraine. Right after the fall of the wall and right after our people went in great numbers into Ukraine to preach the gospel finally to a hungry people, the church was established in the Donbass region of Ukraine, with Donetsk being the city in the very center of that region. Over the next 15, 16 years, the church grew tremendously in that region. And more congregations of the Lord's church and more members of the Lord's church were huddled in that small region of Ukraine than all of Europe combined. The church grew rapidly. We were blessed to be able to contribute by training gospel preachers for those congregations and sending out missionaries from Ukrainian Bible Institute for that region. And they all kind of stayed in the Donbas region of Ukraine. But then persecution came. The Russian rebellion came. And the Christians were scattered all over Ukraine. And little churches that were barely existing suddenly had an influx of strong Christians that knew the Word of God. And the church has been blessed even by something as horrible as the persecution of the Ukrainian people. You see, God is concerned about the extent of the gospel reaching the far corners of the earth. But there is also a third part of this great commission, and that's the content. You see, we have to have a message. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them. If we forget that, if we forget that part of the message, if we forget to tell about Jesus and what He requires of us to become Christians, we failed. But that's not all of the job. Once they become Christians, we're not finished. The business of discipleship and making disciples has a second half, a second part. He says, and teaching them, that is, those that are baptized, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Now, it's important that we share the knowledge of Christ. We have to tell them the truth. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, after 3,000 people gladly received the word and were baptized, it says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They were teaching the new converts. They were teaching them to observe everything the Lord commanded. Now, Paul did that constantly wherever he went. He said to the church at Corinth, as he wrote to them in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, I'm sending my son Timothy to you, and when he comes, he will remind you of my ways which are in Christ Jesus, as I teach everywhere in every church. Why was he teaching the church? Because the disciples need to learn to obey. That's a part of discipleship. Oh, we need knowledge. We need to know. That was the first part of your year here. There are just some things we need to study. There's some things we need to grow in. There's some things we need to know. But the hands and feet, that's obey. He didn't just say, you teach these disciples to know things. You know, we can stand up after we've had a lesson from Brother Gibbs or Brother Ben. We could stand up and say, I know things. Yeah, I know. I know things that maybe other people don't know. Good for you. But this says, teach them to observe the commandments. Now that observe doesn't mean to just look at it and forget it. One translation says, teach them to obey everything I've commanded. You see, God's people, if they're going to be disciples, need to learn to obey. And so we teach from the pulpit, and we teach from the classroom, and we teach in the homes and in the small groups, and we open our Bibles and we say, here's how to obey. Here's how to be the hands and the feet of Jesus and do His will in your life. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Here's how to obey. He said in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Obey. Be a disciple. One more thing and we'll close. You couldn't do it without this. Oh, I know we need to have the intent of Christ, His purpose. We need to have the extent, the worldview. We need to understand the content and then obey it. But without the empowerment, we couldn't accomplish it. You see, the empowerment is important because Jesus said, all power, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. You see, our Lord doesn't just rule in heaven. He rules on earth too. And it's because of that empowerment of Jesus that we have the empowerment to accomplish His will. He never gives us an assignment that He doesn't give us the power to accomplish that assignment. And He ends this section by saying, and I will be with you. I am with you, even to the very end of the age. Here's the good news, folks. The one who has all authority in heaven and all authority on earth is with us. He's not just with us sitting around. He's with us in this assignment of making disciples of all the nations. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5 says, you don't have to fear what man will do to you, because he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will always be with you. As we kind of wind things up here in this lesson, I want you to understand how urgent this mission is. How urgent it is for us to be the hands and the feet of Jesus in our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the uttermost parts of our earth. The need is so great. Jesus just needs our hands and feet to take the message to the people that desperately need it. We distributed these solar players last year in Liberia. And just about the time we were finishing up delivering the last load of these solar players, and just about the time our distribution team was leaving Liberia, they were tacking up the signs in the airport, Ebola, danger, stay out. George Tingba is the dean of one of our branch schools over in Liberia. George Tingba was in an area of Liberia where Ebola was rampant. 7 of his close relatives died of Ebola. He did their funerals. A bunch of the people that he converted, some of the preachers that he trained in the school of preaching, died of Ebola. He wrote to us just a few months ago, and he said, "Suffering and death have resulted from the Ebola outbreak, but many died in Christ because the gospel was preached using those solar players you sent to us." Ebola is a horrible disease. It's 95% fatal. Only 5% of people that get Ebola survive. It's a terrible, terrible disease. But there's a worse disease. Sin is 100% fatal, spiritually and even physically. If you sin, you die. That's what the Bible teaches. But there's a remedy. You and I know that remedy. We have it at our disposal. The world desperately, desperately needs it. Brother Kent Brantley was a doctor, a member of the Lord's Church, a member of the Southside congregation over in Fort Worth. He was over in Liberia and he was doctoring those Ebola victims and he got Ebola. He was on his deathbed. They knew he was going to die. They were just certain of it. He felt he was going to die. And at the last moment, a little vial of blood was flown in to Liberia, where he was. That was blood that was drawn from the veins of one of those rare survivors of Ebola. And in that blood, there were the antibodies that could combat that disease. But it took a survivor to shed his blood. And then when Kent got better and got back to the United States, by that time a young Filipino nurse that was taking care of a Liberian man got Ebola, and she was on her deathbed, and Kent gave some of his blood. He was a survivor now. He gave some of his blood, and it saved her. Well, now, folks, there's only one survivor of sin, and that's Jesus. He is the survivor. And he shed his blood to save us from our sins. Jesus announced this himself as he met with his disciples in the Last Supper. He said, "This cup represents the blood of the covenant which is poured out for you for the remission of your sins." You see, he gave his blood. And Romans chapter 5 and verse 9 says that I am justified, and you are too, if you're a Christian, by His precious blood. If you're not a Christian, if you haven't been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, you haven't made contact with the blood of Jesus Christ that can save you. He's the survivor. He has the remedy for sin. If you're not a Christian, you need to be baptized this morning. You need for His blood to cleanse you of all of your sin. It's not the water that washes away sins. It's the blood that washes away sin. We sing the song, What can wash away my sins? What's the answer? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. But you contact that blood when by faith you repent of your sins and you're baptized, immersed in water, and then your sins are remitted by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, it might be that you're here and you've already experienced that. You've been baptized. You need to know that the blood of Christ doesn't just go back to all of our past sins, but it goes forward to all of those things that trouble us as a Christian. You see, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7 says, if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ continually cleanses us of all sin. Have you walked away from that blood? Have you walked away from the Lord's church? From the fold of safety? And maybe you need to come back and just say, I want the blood again. I want to confess my sin. I want to claim the joy and the faith of knowing that His blood is cleansing me daily. If there's some need that you have that can be met by your public response, remember, there's something worse than Ebola. While we stand and while we sing.
Page 876. Would you be free from your burden of sin?